Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Monday class, 24 November, 2025, Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is the November-December issue of Israel My Glory from the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. By the way, the cover, and it's He is Sovereign. A look at God's supremacy over all creation. Fantastic. And there's a very excellent article. It's entitled Burying the Idea of a Palestinian State. The Israeli government recently announced plans to implement a long-delayed building project that would split the West Bank into north and south, and bury the idea of a Palestinian state. About time. Israeli Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich said the move constitutes a response to the growing number of Western countries declaring that they intend to recognize the Palestinian state. These Western countries is the European Union. It's the precursor of the revived Roman Empire, the 10-nation confederacy that will be headed up by the Antichrist. They are already totally full of evil. So, a move constitutes a response to the growing number of Western countries, specifically European Union, declaring that they intend to recognize the Palestinian state. They are already totally satanic influenced in the European Union. The so-called E1 project between Jerusalem and Ma'ale Adumim, a Jewish suburb located 4 miles east of Jerusalem, envisions the construction of more than 3,000 housing units that will connect the two municipalities from east to west. The project has been frozen for decades due to opposition from Western leaders, primarily, again, the European Union, future revived Roman Empire, who fear the new neighborhood would horizontally bisect the West Bank and preclude the establishment of a territorially contiguous Palestinian state. Established in 1975, Ma'ale Adumim currently has a population of around 40,000 inhabitants and is the largest Jewish city in the West Bank, known in the Bible as Judea and Samaria. If completed, the E1 project would end the Palestinians' aspiration to develop a metropolitan area connecting East Jerusalem with Ramallah and Bethlehem that would serve as the cornerstone of their future state. According to the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, every Israeli government since the 1990s has supported the E1 project, appreciating the need to create an Israeli urban continuity from Jerusalem to Ma'ale Adumim, leading out to the Dead Sea and the Jordanian border. The Israeli plan has totally infuriated European proponents of the so-called two-state solution, which envisions a Palestinian state alongside Israel. For example, British Foreign Minister David Lammy, what's your name, little boy? Let me kiss you. There you go. David Lammy said the E1 project would divide a future Palestinian state in two. He's not the only one. Spanish Foreign Minister Jose Manuel Alvarez decried that the plan undermines the viability of the two-state solution, which is not a solution. Not after October 23rd in 2023. Undermines the viability of the two-state solution, which he says is the only path to peace. No, it's just a path of rewarding terrorism from Hamas. That's all it's doing. And then there's France's foreign ministry condemned the project with the utmost firmness because it would cut the West Bank in two and seriously undermine the two-state solution. Every one of these countries in the European Union, the 10-nation confederacy, the revived Roman Empire, it's all set up. All that's waiting, all Satan's waiting for is the rapture. And then it'll be established. And who's the head of the revived Roman Empire? The Antichrist. And then the European Union, the European Union's chief diplomat, Kaja Kallas, said the plan further undermines the two-state solution And he called on Israel to desist and stop now. Despite international support, the creation of a Palestinian state is unlikely to happen anytime soon. In Israel, public support for a two-state solution has reached a new low. When? Since the Hamas terrorist attacks in October 2023, only 16% of Jewish Israelis currently believe that peaceful coexistence between Israel and a future Palestinian state is possible, according to a recent poll by the Pew Research Center. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who is right on, fabulous leader of Israel, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he is totally opposed to recognizing Palestinian statehood because it would reward Hamas's monstrous terrorism. He's absolutely 100% right. So, let's bury that idea. All right, Zechariah chapter 4. Let's start out by looking at the corrected translation of verses 6 and 7. We've exegeted all the way down to verse 10, but let's look at the first verses 6 and 7. So he, and he is the teaching angel, answered and said to me, Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Absolutely not by means of might, nor by means of power, but by means of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit says, the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tzevaoth. Verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of grace, grace to it. The temple was completed when Zerubbabel finished it off with the final stone, the capstone. This was not the foundation stone laid 16 years earlier. It was the top stone, the last stone, put in place to complete the temple. When Zerubbabel set the capstone in place, shouts of grace, grace to it, could be heard echoing throughout Jerusalem. The people are praising God for his grace and his power in restoring the temple for Israel. The completion of the temple is a demonstration of the grace and the power of God. Specifically here, God the Holy Spirit, Zechariah 4:6. Through maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart, Bible doctrine taught to them by Zechariah and Haggai, they placed spiritual priorities over the details of life. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, is dwelling once again in the Holy of Holies of the completed temple. In verse 7, that phrase, who are you, O great mountain? We live in the church age. We don't live in the age of Israel. We live in the church age, and every church age believer is going to have mountains of opposition in his life. And this is because Satan has shifted his attack to the body of Christ, the church universal, since the Lord Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. In the Old Testament, Satan's attack was on the line of Christ, and then on Jesus Christ himself. But following the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father, Satan's attack in the church age is now on the body of Christ. For the first time in human history, Satan's attack is now on every believer. We are all going to face our mountains of opposition. You level these mountains by getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. You level these mountains by putting spiritual priorities over the details of life. Bible doctrine motivated them to rebuild the temple. Bible doctrine that was taught to them by Zechariah and Haggai. When the temple was finished, they had a great celebration to commemorate the grace and power of God. When the temple was completed, Israel had peace and prosperity for nearly 200 years. This is the golden age of Israel. When the mountain of satanic opposition stopped the rebuilding of the temple from 535 to 520 BC, then divine discipline came, and they had 14 years of discipline, drought, economic depression. However, when the temple was completed, they had 200 years of peace and economic prosperity, the golden age of Israel. And then now in Zechariah 4, 8 through 10, we have the restoration of the temple. In these verses, Zechariah's confidence in the temple's completion received a boost by an encouraging word of assurance from the teaching angel. Now, these verses are not a repeat of verse 7, but an emphatic announcement that what Zerubbabel had begun, he would finish. And this encouragement came from Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. The all-powerful God will accomplish what he has promised in his decree. So we've exegeted verses 8 and 9, and it sounds like this. Then the word of the Lord. There's the key. The word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also complete it. And then you will know that the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, God the Father, has sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, to you. Verse 8 puts the spotlight on the word of the Lord. Bible doctrine. The word of the Lord. It's also called the mind of Christ and the voice of the Spirit. And when you get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, and you'll need it, because the attack in the church age from Satan is on each one of you. It's on all of us. First time in human history, the attack shifted to you. And therefore, more important than any other time is how get as much of the Word of God. Find a sound Bible teaching church, consistently and faithfully assemble, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, because you're going to need all the doctrine in your heart. You're going to need all of the problem-solving devices that God has to face this great mountain of opposition. So you, when you get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then you will know that the Lord of the armies, God the Father, has sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, to you. You have to learn the absolute truth of the Word of God before you will know the grace and power of God. The only way you can get back to the grace and power of God is through maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. God's plan calls for God's grace and God's power. Satan did everything possible to keep the temple from being reconstructed. The mountain of opposition, verse 7. The entire construction of the temple depended upon who and what God is. Verse 9 is a divine promise from the Word of the Lord. A divine promise in the Word of God. A promise is no stronger than the person who makes the promise. And when God makes the promise, it absolutely will be fulfilled. God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be the wall of fire to protect and hold back the fallen angels and the plans of Satan. The one who protected Zerubbabel and the Jewish people during this time was the Lord Jesus Christ, the wall of fire, Zechariah 2:5. Any work the Lord begins by His grace and His power, the Lord finishes by His grace and His power. And the Zerubbabel was the Lord's instrument. Now that brings us to verse 10. They weren't all the people that came back, that returned, the remnant that returned to Jerusalem and Judah. Not all of them listened to Zechariah and Haggai. There was a group of them who, when they saw what was being built, the reconstruction of the temple, they despised it. They are out of fellowship with God, and they hate this new temple. They despise this new temple. And that's what we have here in verse 10. That group of people that came back, they're out of fellowship with God. They're not growing up in the Word of God, the absolute truth of the Word of God taught by Zechariah and Haggai. And they are part of the problem. So we have the problem now in Zechariah 4:10. For who has despised the day of small things? That's the King James. This is the conjunction key plus the interrogative pronoun me plus the cal perfect of the verb booz plus the preposition lamath prefix to yom plus the plural of the adjective katan. Now, you've seen this word many times, if you've been here many times. key. And key is many times is a causal conjunction and is translated because. However, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, The Hebrew Lexicon, on page 472, says that sometimes key has an intensive force. In fact, that's how it's used in our verse. And therefore, it should be correctly translated, in fact. So we'll translate it. In fact, putting the spotlight on those people who came back, part of the remnant that came back to Jerusalem and Judah, it puts the spotlight on those people who despised the new temple. They despised it. Why did they despise it? Because it wasn't as glorious or as large as Solomon's temple. The interrogative pronoun me am long I, me, and me is who. So, one, who refers to the older generation of Jews. The older generation of Jews who lived before the destruction of Solomon's temple. Who refers to the older generation of Jews who lived before the destruction of Solomon's temple? In other words, they knew exactly what Solomon's temple was like. Two, and they envisioned Zerubbabel's temple to be as great and glorious as Solomon's temple. They envisioned Zerubbabel's temple to be as great and glorious as Solomon's temple. But, point three, Zerubbabel's temple was nothing. And that's exactly how Haggai describes it. They looked at it and they said, this is nothing in comparison to Solomon's temple. Four, they scorned and despised the new temple. They considered it to be insignificant compared to Solomon's temple because it was small and plain, not large and glorious. They scorned and despised the new temple as totally insignificant compared to Solomon's temple because it was small and plain. Five, they wept loudly and profusely because this new temple was nothing in their thinking, smaller and less magnificent. So they wept loudly and profusely because this new temple was nothing as far as their thinking concerned, and it was smaller and less magnificent. First of all, let's turn to Haggai and see where they came up with the nothing. Haggai. You ought to be able to find it. It's right before Zechariah. Haggai 2, verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? That is Solomon's temple. How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? See, so here we now know who the group is. They are the ones that saw Solomon's temple in the former glory. But now they look at this temple and it's nothing in their thinking. And then turn over to Ezra. Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 10. But it really, the crying, there's a competition here between the celebration, glory, glory, and then the next group crying and weeping, ah! And the two together, it was a madhouse. Ezra 3, verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord, as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is Tov, intrinsically good, and his grace to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But, okay, now we got the second group. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple, they wept aloud. They were just as crying and weeping aloud as much as the others were celebrating, saying grace. They wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping. It's going on at the same time. This is you wouldn't want to be there for this one. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away. I'll make a movie of this. So they wept loudly and profusely because the new temple was smaller and less magnificent. Nothing in their thinking. Six, they don't see the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is putting a wall of fire around Zerubbabel and the temple builders, Zechariah 2, verse 5. They don't see the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is putting a wall of fire around Zerubbabel and the temple builders, Zechariah 2, 5. 7, instead they see only the superficial, the foundation, the small size, and they despise this temple. They should love this temple. That's the whole reason Cyrus the Great gave the decree. You can go back, you Jews, you can go back to Judah. You can go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Cyrus, a spiritually mature believer, he sent them back specifically to rebuild the temple because he knew the living and true God would reside in the Holy of Holies of the temple. And he wanted them to go. He worshiped the living and true God, Jesus Christ. And so did Darius Hystaspes. So we have In fact, who despises? And despises is the verb booze. And that's something you probably ought to despise. B-long-U-Z. See, you thought booze was spelled B-O-O-Z-E, but it's not. B-long-U-Z, booze. And this verb means to despise. It means to scorn. It means to show contempt. To despise, to scorn, to show contempt. And then we have la yom ketanoth. La yom ketanoth. I'll put that up here for you. Now you know yom is the word day. And this is la yom. And then we have ketanoth. So we got la yom. And then Q Shiva T A N N long O T H Leom Ketanoth. And that is the day of small things. The day of small things. So our verse, in fact, who despises the day of small things? One. The Lord is rebuking those who despised and showed contempt for the building of this temple. The Lord is rebuking them. They came under divine discipline. They are totally out of line. So the Lord rebuked those who despised and showed contempt for the building of this temple. Two, nothing God commissions to be built for His glory, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, should be considered insignificant or nothing. Nothing that God commissions to be built. God commissioned this to be built. Nothing God commissions to be built for His glory, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, should be considered nothing or insignificant. The Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, would dwell in the Holy of Holies of this temple. It's everything, not nothing. It's everything. Three, God often uses small things for His honor and for His glory. God often uses small things for His honor and for His glory. Four, those who despise the day of small things have their eyes on superficial things. They do not have their eyes on the grace and power of God. Those who despise the day of small things have their eyes on superficial things and not on the grace and power of God. You see, God made it very clear. Verse 6, So he, the teaching angel, answered and said to me, Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Absolutely not by means of might, nor by means of power, but by means of the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, says the Lord of the armies. Those who despise the day of small things have their eyes on superficial things and not on the grace and power of God. 5. These believers are suffering from spiritual malnutrition. But then today in America, most Christians are suffering from spiritual malnutrition. Six. These believers have little metabolized doctrine in their hearts. Very little. They have little metabolized doctrine in their hearts. Seven. Therefore, they are stupid. Stupido? Ignoramuses? Ignorant? When it comes to the Word of God and spiritual priorities. What should be the spiritual priority should be number one. Cyrus the Great understood that, allowed the Jews to go back with the condition. Rebuild the temple. Put spiritual priorities number one. Because that's where the living and true God will reside. Jesus Christ in the Holy of Holies. Spiritual priorities. Spiritual priorities are not important to these people. It's the details of life, superficial things. But not spiritual priorities. Not the temple. That should be number one. No matter. And God says this will be built by the God the Holy Spirit. The power of God the Holy Spirit. 8. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart gives the eyes of your heart clear thinking. You can think divine viewpoint. If you're not thinking divine viewpoint, you're thinking human viewpoint. And these people are thinking human viewpoint garbage. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart gives you the eyes of your heart, the ability for clear thinking, thinking divine viewpoint. 9. The perfect character of God makes perfect provision for everything in His plan. The perfect character of God makes perfect provision for everything in His plan. Ten, God's plan and God's essence is infinitely greater than any small thing. God's plan and God's essence is infinitely greater than any small thing. 11. When you despise the day of small things, you have lost sight of the fact that everything in life must be a point of Bible doctrine. When you despise the day of small things, you have lost sight of the fact that everything in life must be a point of Bible doctrine, the Word of God. Well, behind every point of Bible doctrine is the perfect character of God. Behind every point of Bible doctrine is the perfect character of God, the perfect essence of God. 13. Behind every promise in the Word, behind every promise in the Word, and this is a promise from God, behind every promise in the Word is the perfect essence of God. Behind every promise in the Word is the perfect essence of God. Now, I notice that most of you, if all of you, have the Word of God, the Bible, in your lap. Do you really appreciate what you have there in that Bible in your lap? The fact that you have a Bible on your lap right now is proof that God is perfect and God is a genius and God is immutable and unchangeable and totally faithful. You have a Bible because of who and what God is. The very fact that you have a Bible in your lap is an illustration of the grace and the power of God. By His grace and His power, we can clear these spiritual hurdles and glorify God. So 14. As the temple went up, the nation's attitude changed from one of criticism to rejoicing. Zechariah wrote, "For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel." We have the conjunction vav prefixed to the cal perfect of Samach, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the cal perfect of Ra'ah, plus the direct object marker eth joined by a makef to the noun aven, with the definite article, plus the noun bedil with the definite article, plus the preposition beth prefixed to the noun yod. Yod is hand. Yom is day. Yod is hand. The yod of the proper noun Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. Samach. Now, if that doggish is, if it's on the left side, it's a seen. Samach. If it's on the other side, that's a sheen. That would be Samach. It isn't a sheen. It's over here. It's a seen. So this is Samach. S-A-M-A-C-H. Samach. All right. One. Samach means to rejoice. To rejoice, to be glad, to have great inner happiness. To rejoice, to be glad, to have great inner happiness. Two. The winner believer of the remnant that came back The winner believers who have maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart, doctrine taught by Zechariah, doctrine taught by Haggai, they will rejoice because they have great inner happiness. The winner believers who have returned in the remnant, who have maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart, will rejoice because they have great inner happiness. Three, when they ra'ah, and ra'ah is the verb to see, when they seed, and then what do they see? I'm not going to get into Arkansas. When they see Yod, the hand of Zerubbabel, when they see the hand of Zerubbabel, put the Ha'evan Ha'bedil. And Ha'evan Ha'bedil, that's the capstone. Evan stone, the stone. Bedil, the capstone. When they see the Yod of Zerubbabel, the hand of Zerubbabel, put the capstone in place, now the temple is officially completed. Four, for those winner believers who see the temple not as a structure of wood and marble or small size, but they see the temple as a demonstration of the grace and power of God, they will have great inner happiness and rejoicing. For those winner believers who see the temple not as a structure, not as wood and marble and small size, but they see the temple as a demonstration of the grace and power of God. Zechariah 4:6. There will be great inner happiness and rejoicing. And five, these people will shout, grace, grace, in their celebration. Verse 7. So the corrected translation, in fact, who despises the day of small things? For men, winner believers, will rejoice. They will have great inner happiness when they see the capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. And now the last part of the verse is a parenthesis. A parenthesis. The Lord Jesus Christ is also present at the dedication ceremony. The Lord Jesus Christ is present at the dedication ceremony. And this is the parenthesis now. When it says, with those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. All right. So we have the numeral Sheva joined by a makef to the demonstrative pronoun Elah in the plural, plus the dual construct of Ayin, plus the tetragrammaton, plus the plural of the personal pronoun Haim with the paired Gojik He, plus the Pilel participle of Shoot, plus the preposition Beth prefixed to Kol joined by a Makef to the noun Eretz with the definite article. Now this last phrase in verse 10 is a parenthesis. So you can put in, if you don't have it, parentheses, and we have Shiva Elah, that is Elah, demonstrative pronoun, these Shiva is the number seven. The seven. And then we have the word ayin in the construct. Ene is the eyes of, and the tetragrammaton, the eyes of the Lord. The seven, the eyes of the Lord. And then we have Hema Mishotetim. And this is translated, which range, which go to and fro, which range back and forth, or which go to and fro, and then Bakal throughout all the earth, or throughout the entire earth. So literally it says, and all the earth, figuratively it means throughout the earth. So parenthesis. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the entire earth, the whole earth. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the entire earth. Okay. Well, we'll get a couple of this summary. One, the number seven is the number of perfection in the Word of God. Seven is the number of perfection in the Word of God. Two, seven describes the perfect person, the eternal Son of God, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. So seven is the number of perfection, and it describes the perfect person, the eternal Son of God, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this temple is being built so that this perfect, eternal Son of God, the Shekinah glory, can be present with the Jewish people in the Holy of Holies. And that they can, you see, this is all putting spiritual priorities number one. Before, they didn't build fortifications, they didn't have. Jesus Christ said, I will be the wall of fire. I'll protect you. You don't have to build walls. I will be the wall of fire. And even though Satan had all these fallen angels and demons that would try to bring other countries and peoples to come and attack Israel when they didn't have any fortifications, Jesus Christ was the wall of fire. There's no way. They were totally protected. He's the wall of fire so they can finish the temple. And their spiritual priorities, number one. And then they can worship the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ. So seven describes the perfect person, the eternal Son of God, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And point three, that phrase, the eyes of the Lord, is an anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism. For the omniscience, for the omniscience of the eternal Son of God. The phrase, the eyes of the Lord, is an anthropomorphism. For the omniscience of the eternal Son of God. And that means, for nothing is hidden from God's infinite intelligence and omniscience. Nothing is hidden from God's infinite intelligence and omniscience. Five, the Lord's eyes scrutinize the entire world. The Lord's eyes scrutinize the entire world. Six, He providentially watches over and cares for Israel against its enemies and will accomplish his sovereign plan for the Jewish people. He providentially watches over and cares for Israel against its enemies, and he will accomplish his sovereign plan for the Jewish people. All right, well, we'll stop there and pick it up at this point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.